My father was a journalist who was killed in Indonesia's Aceh province in 2003, at the peak of the armed conflict there. More than two decades on, I may now finally have some answers as to how he died. I am Ridwan Siregar.
My father, Ersa Siregar, died at the end of December 2003, when I was just 19 and still studying at university.
Ya, pemirsa, saat ini terjadi saling baku tembak.
He and his cameraman were kidnapped by the Free Aceh Movement, known locally as GAM, at the end of June that year.
Oh, Ersa. Okay.
6 months later, on December 29, my father was shot during an ambush. Multiple accounts, including from military sources, say the shots that killed my father were fired by government forces, not GAM.
Until today, my family and I don't know the perpetrator or what actually happened. But deep down in my heart, I would actually like to meet the perpetrator to ask about what really transpired, so I can finally have a proper closure and tell my children one day about their grandfather.
My father died, but the other hostages didn't. Ferry Santoro, his then 35-year-old cameraman, was released in May 2004, almost a year after being in captivity.
Sehat, Om.
It's time to meet him again, after so many years.
Itu kejadian tanggal 29 Desember 2003. Emang waktu itu kita tempat tinggal di kayak semacam di emang semuanya kan kanan kiri itu rawa semua itu. Kita di atas itu loh kayak panggung itu loh.
That morning, all but one of the GAM members left their hiding place to search for a new one because they believe the military knew their whereabouts. So there were only the four of them left. Uncle Ferry, my father, another civilian, and a single GAM member was busy preparing lunch.
Tahu-tahu darah radius 10 meter dari sini, dari tempat saya tempat nginep sampai 10 meter lah kejar. Tahu-tahu dia berondong. Saya nggak tahu persis ada, pokoknya ada suara tahu-tahu nembakin di tempat kami, bung-bung-bung-bung-bung gitu semuanya. Suaranya nyaring banget udah saya.
Jadi waktu itu sempat lihat nggak sih Om penembaknya itu siapa?
Masing-masing kita menyelamatkan diri, kita nggak lihat Bang Ersa seperti apa, saya nggak tahu. Begitu saya mau lompat gitu, tembakanlah dari pas kaki saya persis. Kalau saya nggak lompat, udah kena mungkin.
Uncle Ferry was recaptured by GAM hours after fleeing. It was only 2 days later that he found out what happened to my father.
Dia sempat minta maaf dulu sama saya. Minta maaf bang, maaf ya, kenapa saya bilang gitu. Ini Bang Ersa sudah tembak sama siapa? Nah, dia bilang bahasanya dia sama TNI gitu loh. Dan saya di situ langsung bahasa saya udah lemas aja, udah nggak bisa ngapa-ngapain aja udah. Kita nggak punya teman ngobrol lah, teman apalah di situ karena beliau kan di selama sama saya selama itu kan sangat memberikan support terus walaupun.
But another colleague of my father claimed to have spoken with the perpetrator on the day my father was shot dead. His name is Diki Martias and he was a producer with RCTI. Diki and his colleagues were rushing to break the news of my father's death when Diki received a phone call.
Pokoknya intinya itu dia bilang, dia minta maaf, dia nggak tahu kalau yang dia tembak itu dia atau mereka tembak. Saya nggak yakin dia penembaknya langsung. Saya sempat kaget, ini siapa? Saya nggak yakin dia nyebut nama lengkap dia, pokoknya Bang Ucok. Terus gimana ceritanya? Pokoknya kita dapat perintah untuk menghadang rombongan GAM yang akan lewat di titik itu di jam tertentu. Jadi disanggonglah di situ ceritanya sesuai perintah. Dan benar lewat rombongan itu, tapi kan dia nggak tahu rombongan itu isinya siapa aja. Nggak tahu, ya sudah dihabisin lah sesuai perintah.
But neither Uncle Ferry nor Uncle Dicky could tell me anything more about who shot my father. So I decided to go to Aceh.
My colleague, correspondent Kiki Siregar is coming with me. Even though we have the same surname, we are not related. Aceh is the only province in Indonesia that imposes Sharia law, so women need to be covered. We are on our way to meet my father's Aceh-based colleague, Munir Nur.
Oh, Munir!
Uncle Munir was the one who found a house for my father to rent in Aceh. When my father disappeared at the end of June 2003, Uncle Munir was the one who raised the alarm. He spent days searching for the team throughout eastern Aceh, until it became crystal clear that GAM had kidnapped my dad. On December 29th, he was told to go to the military's media center in Lok Semawe. Then someone told him to go to the morgue of the Indonesian Red Cross.
Bukannya udah berjambang itu kan, besi, peti, bukannya. Nah, nggak saya lihat lagi. Di formalin tuh udah meninggal, ya pikir. Meninggal, saya udah berdiri gitu. Mau dibersihin, ini ada luka sini. Sini, sini, kok nggak salah, sini ada luka sini. Udah membiru, udah. Jangan luka lama lah. Kalau tidak satu lagi, tembakannya dari sini tembus sini, kalau nggak salah. Bukan daerah ini lah, daerah ini dengan sini.
About 3 months after my father was killed, a marine suddenly approached Uncle Munir while he was on the job.
Dia lihat saya langsung dah ini lari dah, bang. Aduh, bang Munir, ya, udah. Aduh, aku saya minta maaf saya. Apa? Saya bilang gitu. Minta maaf, saya kami enggak sengaja, enggak tahu kami itu Pak Ersa.
It was the Marine's team who shot my father. Uncle Munir mentioned the person's last name, but he forgot his first name. He offered to take us to the place where my father was shot dead in Kuala Manihan village, Simpang Ulim district, East Aceh. Apparently, in 2003, the area was a swamp, but today, it is dominated by oil palms.
Saat itu, seringlah terlintas di pikiran itu, kok susah banget ya untuk ngelamatin ayah saya gitu. Nah sekarang setelah datang ke sini, melihat tempatnya, dan saat itu katanya belum seperti ini gitu kan. Hutan gitu, jadi ya.
Saya punya teman yang kenal dulu, dari dulu memang udah apa, ada komunikasi dulu pasca itu insiden ini. Ada, saya kenal ada orang orang GAM yang dulu nyetop mobil pertama dulu.
Tengku Kafrawi, also known as Awi, was the GAM spokesperson in Perlak in 2003. It is hard to believe that someone like him was once a rebel fighter and capable of kidnapping my dad.
Tapi kebetulan aja ada informasi dari ini, ada lewat wartawan dengan ada dua penumpang itu ya.
As it turned out, the two women were wives of Indonesian military personnel. It was reason enough for GAM to capture the group, said Uncle Awi. She doesn't know who the shooter was since she was with my father for only the first 2 days.
Bermalam sehari kan, Mas?
Saya dua malam.
Dua malam.
Dua malam.
Keluarga ada yang ceritain nggak sih, Om?
Ada sih, ya, tentang Iwan, beliau cerita anaknya lagi kuliah, tapi tidak sedikit.
It was heartwarming for me to know that my father talked about his family, especially me.
Di sini pertama kami mengambil melihat mobil yang ditumpangi oleh rombongan wartawan RCTI, ya Amang, Bang Ersa Siregar, kami stop. Dalam jarak 50 meter, kami keluar di jalan sambil menodong senjata, kami pinggirkan mobil itu. Dalam tempo 2-3 menit, kami sudah mengambil alih kendali. Ini tempat malam pertama Bang Ersa kita bawa kemari, dan ini.
Gimana tidurnya waktu itu di tempat ini?
Kalau dulu sih enggak persis begini, teman ini sekarang sawit-sawitnya belum ada. Tapi kalau tidur bukitnya masih konturnya masih seperti yang dulu. Tidur cuma beralas plastik itu loh, yang bungkusan sofa itu.
It must have been horrible for my father and the rest. Sleeping in the darkness in the middle of nowhere. Mosquitoes were definitely an issue, as well as the cold weather at night. Uncle Awi said they moved a lot. During the 6 months, my father was held captive. But wherever they went, they faced similar challenges. We returned to Jakarta, still not knowing exactly who shot my father. But Uncle Munir mentioned the names of several military personnel. One of them is retired Lieutenant General Bambang Darmono. He was the commander of the Indonesian military in Aceh until early December 2003, when my father was held hostage. We were told there were differing accounts about Bambang's relationship with my father. To keep the interview neutral, Kiki will ask the question while I film, including questions about the military's efforts to free him.
Kalau seperti sekarang ada drone begini, ya, lain lagi ceritanya. Tapi bagi saya, ketika saya sudah di Jakarta, ya aku monitor aja lah gitu. Kemudian dia mati kan, ya. Kalau nggak salah Yon Marinir itu.
Marinir?
Iya.
He didn't want to elaborate, as he was not in charge anymore when the shooting happened. And his successor had already died. But he said that Ahmad Yani Basuki, the military spokesperson in Aceh at that time, might know more. Mr. Yani told us that the military didn't have a lot of troops in Simpang Ulim at the time because they were scattered throughout the conflict zones.
Gerakannya kan gerakan juga senyap, rata-rata gerakannya senyap, sehingga kita pun juga sebenarnya pasukan kecil juga.
He said there were probably around 5 to 10 soldiers in the area at the time. He also said the shooting was not part of any rescue operation.
Ketika almarhum, kita mendengar almarhum Ersa Siregar itu tertembak, di Koop itu juga suasana keprihatinan terasa gitu ya. Saya betul-betul kenal di itu orang tanpa lelah lah menurut saya. Dan sebetulnya periak. Beliau nggak pernah terlihat sebagai seorang yang punya beban di daerah konflik, itu tidak, saya nggak melihat itu.
It gave me comfort knowing that Mr. Yani thought highly of my father.
Kak Kiki.
But like everyone else we spoke to, he couldn't tell us who fired the shots. We spent months pursuing other leads in the military, calling them repeatedly, only to be turned down. We tracked down people who covered the conflict in Aceh in 2003, and people who may know the Marine Uncle Munir mentioned.
Siang. Kami dari media namanya CNA, dulunya dikenal dengan...
Finally, we reached the right person. The Marine who apologized to Uncle Munir for the shooting. It turned out he is in Jakarta and still in service. Over the phone, he said he led the patrol that fired on the hut where my father was being held. Months later, he finally agreed to an interview on the condition that he not be named or filmed.
Ini yang kita nanti-nantikan ya.
He said that on the fateful day my father was shot, he and three of his colleagues spotted a gump camp, but claimed he didn't know there were hostages being held there. He saw someone was cooking and told his colleagues to be quiet. They could see a group of people, but apparently couldn't see their faces clearly. They decided to shoot them. And somehow, he claimed, someone also fired shots at them. The shooting lasted for about 5 to 10 minutes, he said. Once it was over, he approached the gump camp. That is when he saw my father lying on the ground. Nearby the body, he found my dad's press ID card. That is when he knew the body was my dad. Given the circumstances, I cannot fully verify his version of events, as only he and his team would know what happened that day. And he was the only person from the team whom we could track down.
He said it was an accident. They didn't know my father was in the gump hut. Otherwise, they wouldn't have fired shots, he said. He apologized to me in hour-to-hour conversation. He even apologized twice, and it felt genuine. I'm glad we finally met him after decades of wondering what truly happened. The meeting didn't bring my father back, but it allowed me to lay one long question to rest. Ingat nggak?
Ingat lah.
Apa ya?
Liburan terakhir di Bali.
Tahun berapa ini?
Kalau nggak salah 2002.
Nah, inilah foto terakhir kita nih sama kamu.
I feel fortunate that through this journey, I get to know more about my father, decades after his death. And I feel proud to be his son, the son of a tough journalist.
Udah berlalu ya, Bang?
Oh, iya. Ya gitu.